From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, this is Q&A with Jill Geisler.
Hello, welcome back. Today's question, how can leaders improve journalism? Now, I'm recording this at the beginning of 2017, and I've just published a column in the Columbia Journalism Review called 10 Resolutions for Managers Leading Newsrooms in 2017. And so I'm going to share those with you over a series of podcasts. So here we go. Number one, rally the troops. Your people are working under pressure from all sides. They're enduring or fearing budget cuts. They're tired of being vilified and even accosted by partisans and grilled by Uncle Bob at the holiday table about why the darn media isn't telling the truth as he sees it. The staff needs your strong voice and vision right now. Start the year with a huddle your team won't forget. Talk about what really matters, a passion for ethical, high-impact journalism that can only come from newsrooms with clear priorities and plans. Challenge them to live up to their unique role in democracy and to neither run scared nor screw up, because the world is watching. Tell them there are plenty of studies documenting distrust of the media, but that unlike the news fakers out there, the MSM, mainstream media, doesn't MSU make stuff up. And truth-telling is a calling, not a popularity contest. Then share Pew's December survey findings that 64% of Americans, quote, say fabricated news stories cause a great deal of confusion about the basic facts of current issues and events, unquote. So tell your team that even if people don't say they love us, they're asking for help, and let's provide it. Resolution number two, unleash your design minds in the fake news fight. Fake news isn't flawed news, it's intentional deception produced for fun and profit. To fight its toxic impact, Facebook has taken some first but incomplete steps. Slate, The Washington Post, and even Princeton University student programmers have developed browsers that ferret out falsehoods. It's progress, but there's more to do and more talent to tap. We've enlisted reporters to fact-check and developers to invent flags for fake news. We've yet to fully examine the visual appeal of fake news forms and what makes them so powerful. From all-cap headlines to hyperbolic language to bold memes and visuals, they slam home misleading messages at a glance. They've become an art form all their own, perfect for social media sharing. Meanwhile, our fact-checking formats are pretty traditional, meticulous detail and gray blocks of copy. They appeal to reason, while fake news appeals to emotion. Let's invite our visual thinkers to bring their insights into the mix. How about some design hackathons to come up with powerful new formats that highlight falsity or veracity in ways that word people haven't yet envisioned. Number three, taxonomize Trumpian tweets. The president-elect, he's president-elect as I read this, but president soon, he tweets, and journalists reflexively respond, often elevating his words to a high spot on the day's news agenda. Our reflexes need refinement. Unlike presidential addresses or press conferences, tweets are shortcuts that shortchange the public. Significant news time and space is spent deconstructing and debating his messages. Let's simplify things. A review of Donald Trump's 34,000-plus tweets shows they can be identified in a fairly tidy taxonomy. There are boast tweets, salute tweets, info tweets, promise tweets, threat tweets, spite tweets. As journalists strain to precisely and proportionately deal with the Trumpian tweeting phenomenon, the taxonomy can provide some editorial tools. This is especially important when his missives are misleading. For example, you can report that the president-elect incorrectly boast-tweeted that he won in a landslide. He didn't. Or that he spite-tweeted inaccurate information about Vanity Fair after the magazine panned a Trump restaurant. Your taxonomy titles may differ from those I suggest, but you get my point. Using editorial discretion and clear language, journalists can categorize Trump's or anyone's tweets for their apparent intent, importance, and accuracy, and devote attention to them accordingly. Number four, grow more policy wonks. With so much potential for policy change in this administration, journalists must be specialists, not generalists, or the public won't be served. It's not enough to run a soundbite from a public servant who says, "We're eliminating job-killing regulations," or "These regulations run thousands of pages, so it's clear they're a problem." Where's the proof? Where's the context? A journalist without expertise in that topic will be a mere stenographer. Your newsroom can identify several policy issues of greatest importance to your community. As a leader, you then assign reporters to develop deep expertise and give them time to do so. Study the December report from the American Press Institute on the 7 characteristics of effective accountability journalists for guidance. If you cut back on beat reporting, shift your priorities. That way, statements about proposed changes in regulations, policies, laws, or processes won't hang in the air without informed follow-up questions and contextual reporting. Regulations may indeed be job-killing, or they might be life-saving. How will the public know if your journalists lack the depth to sort things out? Okay, that's 4 of the 10 resolutions. I'll pick up on the next ones in our next podcast episode. For Loyola University Chicago, I'm Jill Geisler.